The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. The blood of Jesus had to be shed for there to be forgiveness. You can't have just free forgiveness. It had to cost somebody. Payment had to be made for sin. And Jesus voluntarily gave himself for me. When I drink this juice, I just think about all the blood that was shed for me. The blood that was spilled at the foot of the cross, as well as all the times he was beaten. That blood is what was required payment for my sin. Let's drink the juice. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for paying that penalty for me. Lord, I was so unlovely, I was so unworthy. But yet, your word says, while we were yet sinners, you died for me. You died for each one of us, knowing how imperfect we would be, how many mistakes we would make along the way, how much we would be not worthy, even after we became Christians. You know how much our lives would not reflect the goodness of God. All those imperfections, all those sins, all the things we've done, you knew that even before you did it. And yet you still did it. And you still saved me. And you still called each one of us to be your kids. Father, all we can do is thank you. We can't earn it back. We can't do anything to pay you back. We just want our lives to reflect our appreciation for you. Not only in church on Sunday morning, but all throughout the week. Lord, let our lives reflect the appreciation we have. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your ultimate sacrifice for us so that we could be forgiven, we can be cleansed. Every wrong thing we've ever done is gone, forgiven, and forgotten. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, continue to fill us, continue to anoint us, and allow us to be exactly what you've called us to be. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I was thinking as we were finishing up that, how many of you have ever seen the movie Saving Private Ryan? If you haven't seen it, it's a good movie. I encourage you to watch it. But at the end, the gist of the movie was these five guys go in to tell this one army guy that he was free, he was going to go home. His tour was done. It's in World War II. And so all these guys, basically, they do, his name is Ryan, so he's Saving Private Ryan. They have to go in and find him and tell him he's going home. And so in the process, all along the way, a lot of these guys are wounded, some are killed, and at the end, one of the guys says to Private Ryan, when he's a youngster, and Ryan realizes how many sacrifices were made to get him out. One guy says to him, earn this. Earn this. Then you fast forward to today. You see an older guy looking at the grave of one of these guys, and he looks at his wife and said, Did I live my life honorably? Did I, not that he earned this guy's sacrifice, but did my life reflect, was it good enough for this guy to give his life for me? And the wife said, yes, you lived a good life. Now we know that, you know, you don't make it into heaven by being good. But when you come to Christ, you want your life to matter. You want your life to reflect that it was worth it for God to save me. I want to live my life so, yes, God, I'm so happy. I want to honor you by what you've given to me. That's how we should live all the time. All the time. Well, 6 pages. 10 minutes. How many remember that commercial? I think it was the FedEx commercial years ago, where the fastest talker would talk through the commercial. He would say it like lightning fast. That's not me. I may talk fast, but I'm not intelligible when I do. I'm just going to start this, and we'll obviously finish it next week. I said to a friend of mine, you know, we normally end around noon, and I said to a friend of mine, you know, I said, I feel like I gyp the people when I don't go long enough. When I don't give them everything I have, I feel like I gyp them. And she says, trust me, Jeff, your people are okay if they get out early. They will appreciate getting out early. Well, that's not today. I will let you out by noon, though. Last week, we talked about worship. Today, we're going to go back to our study of John. 2 weeks ago, we left off with Jesus asking the first two disciples who were following him. They started following him. He turns around and says, what do you want? If you remember that. And it basically, God's asking us, what do we want? Why do we follow Christ? What do we want to get out of following Christ? And the disciples said, you know, we don't know. Can we come and talk to you? He says, come, follow me, and you'll see what's going to happen. There was no promises given. Jesus says, you want to know what's going to be? You got to follow me. Then you're going to find out. So now we pick it up in verse 40. We find out that it was Andrew and John were the first two who started following Jesus. John the Baptist says, look, there he is. And they said, okay, we're out of here, and we're going to follow him. And so they left him, and now we're at verse 40. It says, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John the Baptist had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing that Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. How many have ever worked a Billy Graham crusade? Anybody ever worked a Billy Graham crusade? We had one back at in our town of Pittsburgh several years ago. And you learn a lot of stuff about how Billy Graham crusade works by working it. But one of the things we found out that was he just doesn't come to a town. He has to be invited to the town by a huge number of the churches in the area. One church just can't call him and tell him to come in. He wants the majority of the evangelical churches to band together to invite him to come. But when he comes, he sends his team in weeks in advance. And all the churches in the area that are involved with the Billy Graham Crusade, they get all the people that are going to be altar workers and prayers. They get them together, and they teach them on how to be an altar worker. And their class is called Operation Andrew. How many have ever heard of it? Operation Andrew is based on this verse. The churches are responsible for inviting people to the crusade. They're the ones that are supposed to do the advertising. They're the ones that are supposed to get out there. They're the ones who are inviting their neighbors and friends to the Billy Graham Crusade. And his whole teaching seminar is called Operation Andrew because we're supposed to reach out to them. What's the Bible say? Go ye into all the world, right? It does not say come they. It says go ye. And so Operation Andrew is to teach the local folks how to invite someone to the Billy Graham Crusade, how to be a witness, how to engage in conversation with them. Now, if we go back to verse 38 or verse 39, we're going to see kind of what happened with Andrew. Remember Andrew, you know, Jesus says, come and you'll see what's going to happen. Verse 39 says, come, he replied, and you'll see. So they went and they saw where he was staying and spent the day with him. So these two guys spent the entire day with Jesus. And what's the first thing that Andrew thought to do? Tell somebody else. Tell them about Jesus. He went to get his brother. Whatever happened during the time that they spent with Jesus, just about a day, Andrew was so inspired that he knew he had to tell somebody about it. How many remember when you first got saved? You were, man, on fire, excited. No, you couldn't shut up about it, right? People were trying to tell you to shut up, and you couldn't shut up. That's how Andrew was. He was excited about it. And once he goes to Peter and says, hey, come and see who Jesus is. Notice what he does not do. He does not convince him. He does not witness to him. He does not give him a sermon. He says, hey, look, I found the Messiah. Basically saying, I got saved. And that was Andrew's testimony. When you're a new Christian and you're excited about something and you want to tell people, more often than not, you know zero about the Bible, right? All you know is you got saved, your life has changed, and you are happy about it. You can't preach a sermon because you don't know a sermon. Andrew says, look, I don't know anything. Just come and see who I found. He doesn't convince him. He doesn't witness to him. He doesn't give him a whole bunch of Bible verses. He says, look, I found him. Come and see what I've experienced. That's the reason that testimonies are so powerful. And personal invitations to either a church or a Bible study or whatever is so powerful. Because you are asking someone that you know, you already have that relationship with them, and so hopefully they trust your opinion, and you say, look, come see what I've discovered. You know, for years, you know what the number one discipleship tool was in churches? It was not the service. Let me know that. It was Sunday school. Sunday school was the evangelistic arm of the Assemblies of God and probably most other churches for the longest time. Because in Sunday school, you have time to have friendships. You have time to fellowship. You pray for needs. You can mingle in Sunday school. And so when people would invite, and we would do this all the time back home, we would get them to come to Sunday school, not necessarily church, because that's where relationships are formed. When you talk to someone about what you've experienced, the best way to do it is to tell them to come to an event that may not be the church setting itself. When the women go out, and there's a whole bunch of the guys who go out to eat, invite someone with you. Take them, hey, look, we have a great time fellowshipping, we eat, we kibitz, we talk, come with me. See what it's like. It's not a church, it's not a sermon, but they get to see firsthand what a true Christian is. Some people are afraid to go to church. Some people have a preconceived notion of church, especially Assemblies churches. My first time in an Assemblies church, I thought y'all were crazy. I almost ran out because I thought y'all were nuts. Because that's not what I'm used to. And I had a preconceived notion of what Pentecostal, full gospel people were. Now, I've yet to see anybody rolling down the aisle. Has that ever happened in any church you've been to? Yes? Yes? Rolling down the aisle? Rolling on, okay. All right, I've been schooled. Swinging from chandeliers? Okay. Not yet. So people may have a preconceived notion of what this church or any church might be. If you get them with a group of other believers, they can see, hey, they're just normal people, just like me. The same struggles, the same problems, but the difference is we have Jesus, and we can encourage them. Now, Andrew, there's no sermons of Andrew in the Bible, but the times that Andrew is mentioned, he's mentioned because he's bringing someone to Jesus. John 6:8 says, another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. So he brings this boy up to Jesus. This is when he fed the 5,000. He said, hey, come here, boy, let me show you to Jesus. And he brings him up to Jesus. John 12:20 says, now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Andrew's always out there trying to get people to come with him to at least see Jesus, to make up his own mind. God calls each one of us to be an Andrew. How many know that? There are no bench warmers in God's economy. Right? It's our responsibility. It's our responsibility to talk to people about Jesus. One of the things we're trying to orchestrate this coming year is a small missions trip for the teens to go actually back to New York City. I have a friend of mine who runs an outreach in there that they do. They bring, you know, students and whoever in for different varying lengths of missions trips, you know, weekend or a week or 3 or 4 days, whatever, you know, whatever you want to do. And we take them, we take the teens, and depending on which trip it is, they either go feed the hungry or witness on the street or do something else, but it's a chance for them to do something physical for God. And that's the kind of what we're working on right now. So pray for that. We're able to do that. It's open, you know, it'll be open for adults if you all want to go too. They're relatively inexpensive. We can drive there. It's not that far away. But we want the teens and in some adults to get into the habit of being confident in living for Christ. You know, the Bible says that your conversation should be seasoned with salt. How many enjoy salt on their food? I'm a saltaholic. I'm going to die probably tomorrow because of all the salt I use. But I like salt. But even it can get too salty, right? Bible says our conversation should be seasoned with salt. We should talk to other people not in a way that, you know, we're, you know, giving them all this Bible speak, but we tell them, I'll pray for you. It's something our church can do for you. You talk to them like they were a part of our church. You don't change your conversation when you're with them. You talk to them as if they are a believer. And your conversation is seasoned. They know you're a Christian by the way you talk. Like Andrew, all we can do is tell them what Christ has done for us. And then invite them back to see how it happened and what it means to me. Now I'm going to stop there, and I know you're all appreciative of that. Halfway down page 2, so we'd have been a long time. I can keep you here until the snow flies. And then as someone said, the pews are open, you all can sleep on the pews. The whole point of this whole sermon is time is short. Do you agree? You know, Jesus couldn't come back tomorrow, he can come back in 100 years. But whatever the time frame is, it's shorter than it was yesterday. And shorter than it was last year. When you see all the things that are going on in the world, sometimes you wish he'd come back today. But when he comes back, and the Bible says he's long-suffering, the reason he does not come back is because there's other people yet to hear. Whether it's your family or your friends or your neighbors or whoever they are, people that don't know Christ need to know Christ. That is our job. Do a word study on hell. Read Luke 16 if you want to know about hell. My wife, she saw one of those old, in the 70s, end of the world movies. How many remember those that were out there? It scared you to death. And she ran home the whole way from the movie. At the church, played the movie, and she ran home the whole way, wanting to know about, you know, afraid that the end time was going to come. But you know what? The end time is going to come. And not only do we need to be ready, but we need to make sure that as many people as we know are ready. Because once we're gone, the church is gone in the rapture, there's going to be nobody to tell your friends. No one's going to be here to tell them. And the chances of them getting saved decrease significantly. So our job while we're here is to try to share the love of Jesus. Because we love people. We love people. And no one deserves the punishment that's coming. No matter how bad you think they are, we want them to know Jesus. Would you stand as we close this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been in this church for a long time, maybe as long as you can remember. Or maybe this is your very first time, or somewhere in between. I would not be doing what God has called me to do if I did not give you the opportunity to believe in what we've been saying this morning. The Bible says that Jesus died for sinners. But we have to believe that in our heart. We have to receive that into our heart. We can believe it in our head. Not the same. The Bible says the enemy knows the Bible. The enemy knows all this stuff, but he's not saved. We have to come to a point in our lives where we look at the information that is given, that Jesus paid the price for my sin. And we have to come to the point where we say, yes, I believe that. And I'm going to live my life according to that fact. The Bible says we're all sinners. None of us are righteous, no, not one. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And the only way to receive that gift is to actually take the gift unto yourself. As many as receive him, not just believe it, but as many as receive him, to those he gave the right to be called children of God. If you're here and you've never given your life to Christ, you've heard about it, you've talked about it, and you've probably heard sermons out your ears about it. But the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not next week. Today is the day to make the choice. If you want to receive Christ and you want to have your sins forgiven, a new slate, the Bible says he wipes everything clean. Not only does he forgive, but he throws it in the sea of forgetfulness. He chooses to forget our past. If you want that new start, that new life with Christ, I want you to raise your hand right now. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you that we are all followers of Christ, that we've all given our lives to you. I pray that you would continue to fill us on a daily basis with the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Give us that sense of urgency to the people we know in our lives, that we can love them and encourage them and bless them and share the love of Christ with them. They're not just conquests, Lord. They're not just another notch on our belt, but we truly love people, and we don't want them to end up in hell. We want them to enjoy the pleasures of heaven, which the Bible says were created for them. Not only that, we want them to have encouragement and peace while they're here. As we saw, Sue is just in a tremendous attitude, not of herself, but by the anointing and the power of the Spirit. That's what is available to people who know God. And the people that may be suffering that we know, we want them to at least have the joy that's available because they know God. I pray that you give us that urgency. Set up divine appointments. Allow us to run into people. Start the conversation, Lord. Allow us to be Andrew to the people we come across in our walks every day. Father, bless us as we leave today. Fill us with your Spirit. We pray every day. And we commit ourselves to serving you the best that we can. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Have a blessed week. Quickly go to the store.